If you would, go ahead and be opening your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Hopefully you're already there from the reading that was read just a few moments ago. Let me say to begin with, it is an honor for me to be here. I am so happy to be able to come together with you to speak about this subject that I've been given. Frankly, I've been given a subject that a lot of people get nervous about. It's okay to talk about prayer and talk about singing and talk about other aspects of worship and things like that. But when you start talking about money, people get scared. But we're going to talk about it this evening, and we're going to talk about it hopefully from a light that you may have not thought of. Because we need to realize that giving does so much for us. It's not just what it does for the congregation. It's what it does for us personally as far as our relationship with God. It is an attitude that we need to get in our heart. It's an attitude of sacrifice that we need to have to help our relationship with God. If you'll begin with me in Mark, as was read just a few moments ago, I want to look again, beginning in verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. Now let's stop there and think about this. Now what I want you to do is I want you to try to picture this scene with me. You've got Jesus and his disciples, and they're sitting there in the temple area, and they're watching people come in and come out, and they see people putting money in the collection. And I don't suppose they thought a whole lot about it, but they were noticing the money that the rich people were putting in, and I don't know if they were putting in bags of money or just handfuls of money, but they were putting in quite a bit. And then along came the poor widow, who just walked up to the treasury and put in the two little mites. Now, I've been told that a mite is a very small amount of money. In fact, I'm told that a mite is equal to less than our penny. And that's what she put in. But the fact is, she put this money in, and it impressed Jesus very much. And you look at that and you think, well, why is it that he wasn't impressed with all the money that the rich people were putting in? It seems like he would have been impressed with those. Wow, look at the money we're raking in. But you see, it's not about the money that's raking in. It's about the next couple of verses. Verse 43, so he called the disciples to himself and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. You see, she gave all that she had. She didn't just give what was left over. She didn't do the things that she wanted to do in life and then say, oh, we've got to go give some to the Lord. See, she gave to the Lord first. She gave all that she had. Surely this woman understood the meaning of the passage in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, which says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. As we gather here tonight, we can talk about so many different good reasons to give to the work of the Lord, to give to the treasury of the Lord's work, of the Lord's church. And we don't know really what prompted this woman to give as she did. I mean, she gave all that she had. We don't know what prompted her, but we see from her example, we see the attitude or the will in her heart of sacrifice. And what it means to give to the Lord's work first. This evening, I would like for us to look at several reasons why it is good to give to the work of the church. Why it's good to give to the Lord. Why it's good to give to the treasury of the Lord's work. Reasons that perhaps may have prompted this woman to give as she gave. So, the question tonight, why is it good to give to the Lord? First of all, and it's a very obvious one, and you've got it on your outlines there, but first of all, it is good because it shows gratitude to the Lord. You know, giving is one way that we can show the Lord that we're truly, really thankful for the things that we've been given. You know, many times we pray about, oh, thank you for this and thank you for that, but do we really have the heart of gratitude to God? You know, when you think about what God has done in giving His only begotten Son for us, how can you even think about giving Him less than your best? when you think that God has given us everything to sustain life, how can you even imagine giving Him less than your best? When we give to the work of the Lord, we're showing gratitude for all that the Lord has done for us. I want you to consider a passage with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In this passage, we'll look at, begin reading in verse 7. Paul says, as he writes here, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Now this is a little bit confusing. It's a kind of a verse that's a little bit hard to understand. But so for us to understand what he's talking about, what we need to realize is that the first part of this chapter, he's talking about giving. That the beginning verses, Paul is talking about how the Macedonians had given, though they were poor, much like the widow woman who had given. He says that they were willing to give beyond that which they were able, beyond their means. And he tells the Corinthians to abound in this grace. And that's the confusing part if you read the verse and don't know what the rest of the chapter is about. He says, abound in this grace. And when he says that, this grace that he's talking about is the giving that the Macedonians had been doing. And so what he's trying to relay here is he wants the Corinthians to give to the Lord just as the Macedonians had given. And so, why would he want the Corinthians to have this spirit of giving, and us for that matter, this to abound or be overflowing with this spirit of giving? The answer simply is in verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." The answer is simply gratitude. Jesus gave up everything for us. You realize that? He gave up everything. He was in heaven with the Father, and he gave that up to come down for us, though we are so undeserving. We should have that kind of gratitude. Also, we should have the gratitude for the things that we have in this earth, just the earthly things that we have. I can't even think of a time that we've lived in a time where we've had so many luxuries. You think back in history. The luxuries we have at this day and time are just unbelievable. I mean, we can go anywhere we want to and not even have to walk. We have an overabundance of food, as you noticed this afternoon from what I understand. And there's just plenty of food to go around. We've got, if you can imagine this, we actually have water running inside of our houses. I mean, that's just the coolest thing. That is so awesome. We have heat, we have air conditioning, we have all the luxuries, the comforts of life. We ought to be thankful for that. We should be thankful to God and realize these good things come from God. And when you have all that, and when you give back to the Lord, you're giving Him or showing Him gratitude for all that we have been blessed with. And besides all that, giving gets us involved. Giving gets us involved, and it shows that we're interested in the Lord's work. Yeah, it's easy to sit back and come in and sit in the pew and then and listen and then leave. But giving shows that we want to be involved in what the church is doing. We want to be involved in the work of our Lord. We want to be involved in helping spread the gospel in the community and abroad, really. It helps us to do that. You know, a man once wrote a letter to his preacher, and he said, "I'm just so tired of it down there. All I ever hear about is giving, giving, giving." The preacher thanked him for the best definition of Christianity he had ever heard. Because Christianity is giving, giving, giving. Giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving of our means. That's what Christianity is about. It's not about what Christianity does for us so much. It's what we can do. It's giving. That's what Jesus tried to explain. His whole life was about giving. That's what Christianity is. And when we give, it shows our involvement with the church and our willingness to serve the Lord. You know, we have a wonderful example of Christians in the Bible. In the same passage that we were talking about, the Macedonians, let's look at the first part of chapter 8, where we see an example of people who were involved in the work and were willing to give. Beginning in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. Although these people, these Macedonians, were poor, they were rich in giving. Their hearts were right. They were rich in giving. They gave, it says, beyond their ability. We might say they gave until it hurt. That's a concept that we don't see anymore much a lot of times. Giving until it hurts. It's easy to give out of the abundance, like all the rich people that Jesus was not so impressed with. But the widow woman, these Macedonians, they gave until it hurt. Look at verse 3 and 4 again. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see, when it came time to give, they didn't say, oh, do we really have to give? I mean, I had that boat payment coming up, and I had this going on and that. Do we really have to give? They didn't have that attitude at all, did they? We don't see that. They regarded giving as an opportunity, not as an imposition. Not as something that was supposed to be grudging this is the part of the service I don't like, and we put our money in, you know. They didn't have that attitude. It was their way to be involved in the work of the Lord, to be involved in what was going on with the church and the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of classes and spreading the gospel beyond and helping with the needy saints. They had given of their means, though they could not afford it, really. And they also had given of themselves, according to verse 5. It's not just about money. It's about giving of yourself to the Lord. It kind of reminds me, there's a story in the Old Testament I want to go back and look at real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. I think that every time I think of this, it reminds me of this story of King David and the attitude that David had about sacrifice. You may recall in this chapter, in 2 Kings chapter 24, the prophet had come and told David to make an altar to sacrifice to the Lord, an altar to the Lord at the threshing floor of Arauna. And David went to Arauna, and when Arauna came and saw him, or came out and saw him coming, he ran out to meet him, and he told David that he wanted, David told him that he wanted to buy the threshing floor so that he could make sacrifice and build the altar to the Lord. But I want to notice verse 22. Notice what Arauna said to him. Now Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing implements and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arauna has given to the king." And Arauna said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." But now here's what we need to notice. Notice what David said in verse 24. Then the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And what I'm saying here is that David got it. David got it. David understood the principle of sacrifice. He understood what it meant to sacrifice for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, if we could all just get this attitude ingrained in our lives, then the problem about giving, we wouldn't even have to worry about it anymore. If we could all get into our hearts, the attitude instilled into our hearts of, you know, giving just wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be an issue. We would look forward to giving to the Lord, to giving to the church. We would be happy that giving gets us involved and shows that we're interested in what's going on in the work of the Lord. And really, think about all the things that are done because of our attitude of giving, that we're willing to give to the treasury of the church. Bulletins are printed and Bible correspondence courses are sent out to people and things like that. That takes money. We have meeting places. You have a nice meeting place here. It takes money. It takes money for the upkeep. It takes money for the building. Teaching materials that are bought for young people's classes, that takes money. It takes money for a church, for this church to be a light in this community. It takes money to do that. And when you give, you are involved in that. You know, so many people say, well, I can't teach a class, or I can't do this. I'm nervous about teaching one-on-one. You can give money and you're involved in that. It gives you a feeling of being involved. It helps you increase your involvement in the work of the church. I tell you, there's a story that I'm reminded of. There's a family that sat down at their kitchen table after dinner, and it was on a Sunday afternoon after church, and they were sitting around just beginning to talk, and the teenage boy in the family said, you know, that sermon sure was boring today. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That sermon was boring. And his sister jumped in and says, yeah, could you believe how that preacher just stumbled over all those verses that he was reading? It was shocking. And then the mother even chimed in and she said, well, you know, I have to admit it was a pretty uninspiring service. I mean, the singing was terrible. And finally, after all this conversation, the wise father chimed in. The father, showing his leadership and showing his wisdom, said, all of y'all hush. Just hush. I mean, after all, what do you expect for a quarter? You see, this is a family that didn't understand what giving was about. It's a family that wasn't involved in the services. You see, they would just come in, they would sit down, they would enjoy the entertainment, if that's what it was, and they would leave. They weren't involved in what they were doing. Their hearts were not where they needed to be. And that's what I'm trying to relay to you tonight, is that our hearts need to be right with God. And our hearts need to lead us to that attitude of sacrifice and involvement in the work of the church. There's so many ways that we can be involved in the work, and giving is just one of them. But it does get us involved. These people were spectators and not doers, not participants. It was more the attitude of now, what can the church do for me rather than what can I do for the Lord? You see, being a Christian is about service. It's about serving the Lord. It's about spreading the gospel. We need to remember that. Giving of our means is certainly one way to show our involvement in the work of the Lord. Another way is to show, to give of ourselves, our time, our energy. You know, a lot of times in this world, we've gotten to a situation where, or the attitude where we just want to throw money at situations. You know, we've got a problem we need to deal with. Well, how much money is it going to cost to fix it? Well, some problems can't be fixed with money. Some problems have to be fixed with our time. And teaching the world the Lord's gospel takes time. Teaching our children takes time. Having an attitude of service and sacrifice, not just of money, but of ourselves. We need to be willing to give ourselves as well as our money to the work of the Lord. But then another point that I want to bring up, and this is probably one of the more important points that I want to make tonight. And that is, the idea of giving is commanded. You know, we can talk about how much good it does for us and how it strengthens our relationship with God, but the fact is, it's commanded of God. And I suppose that even though it shows gratitude and involvement and interest, we need to show obedience in the commandments of God. And we're going to have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We can't talk about giving without going to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know what's there, but we're going to look at it anyway, because I tell you what, I hear this passage read just about every week. You know, we come up and we have the Lord's Supper, and then we may have the collection just after the Lord's Supper, and someone will get out their Bible and they'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And it's almost like we don't even listen to it, see. We don't pay attention to what's going on. We don't listen to the words many times, but I want to listen to the words tonight. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. That word must. Did y'all notice that? That's a commandment. This isn't a suggestion. See. As he gave orders, you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up, the King James Version says, lay by in store, I believe. But on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. You see, God's law teaches giving. And here it's saying to lay something aside on the first day of the week. Now, when we do that, you know, it almost gets like a lot of other aspects of worship where we just kind of go through the motions and we say, okay, here's the time where we do this and here's the time where we do that. But are we really thinking about what we're doing? You know, sometimes we think about the Lord's Supper and we take the emblems of the Lord's Supper and we think, okay, it's time to take the Lord's Supper. But we want to be reminded about Christ and the sacrifice He made for us, so we really tune in, or we should, tune in to why we're doing that. But then the collection comes along and but we don't really think about, I'm given to God. The attitude of gratefulness that we've talked about. His law teaches that we need to do this. But the purpose is to lay by in store. Let me ask you a question. What do you do when you store something? You think about the storage building. Storage buildings have become really, really popular too. But you think about storage buildings. When you store something, you save it up. You hold it. You hang on to it for a little bit. You lay by in store. You store it up. Now, the purpose is to lay by in store. This way the church will have the money stored up in the, or maybe a treasury, if you will, so that when the money is needed, it will be there. It would be kind of like if I were to want to go out and buy some groceries. Well, I could probably go and buy plenty of groceries and have the money there. But if a big need came along, like an air conditioning system or a car or something like that, I might have to lay by in store. I might have to put some money aside and have me some money built up so that when that big need arises, I've got it there. Otherwise, I won't have enough. And see, in this instance, they were storing up money to send to the needy Christians in Jerusalem, according to verse 3. And if Paul didn't instruct them, this church, to build up a store of money, then when he came, they likely wouldn't have had enough to deal with the needy Christians and the needs that they had in Jerusalem. You see, Paul's given us an example here. In these verses, he's given us a pattern. Store up the money that is given on the first day of the week. Then, when the need arises, the money will be there. Now, understand, I'm not at all saying that the treasury or the church is in the business of making money. Don't misunderstand me at all. We're not in the business the church is not in the business of seeing how much money we can make and sitting back saying, boy, we got a lot of money in the bank. Isn't that great? We're doing good. See, that's not the point. We need to understand that. But the point is that when needs do arise, that we will have a reasonable amount of money set aside to do those things. It takes a treasury to do that. But the important thing to remember is not just to sit on the money and say, aren't we doing good? We've got $17,000 in the bank. No, what we need to be doing is looking for those needs. Don't just wait for them to come to us. Look for preachers that need support abroad. Look for missionaries that want to go to Russia or the Philippines or something like that that need help. Look for opportunities to use the Lord's money for what it was intended to. But in order to do that, it's good to have a store of money, as this indicates from this passage. When Paul tells us to lay by in store on the first day of the week, we need to remember that this is a command. And if we understand this as a command and we don't do it, is it not sin? We need to have a heart of obedience. We need to obey the gospel and the obey the Lord and the laws, even if it interferes with some of the things that we want to do. Oh man, there's a lot of things that I'd like to do and a lot of stuff I'd like to have, but I've got to give to the church. I mean, I've got to give that allotment, you know. What is that attitude? We want to give to the Lord. We need to give to the Lord. Not because the church needs the money. I don't care if the church has $5 million and I don't have hardly anything. I need to give to the Lord. It's about the heart. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. The Christians need to have the attitude, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing. It's about sacrifice. It's about sacrifice. And also giving helps us to put God first. You remember that passage over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Of course you do. If you don't, let me help you with it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, we have to put first God in our lives. Put Him first in our lives. Not just in word and not just in other aspects. You know, it's funny. A lot of times we want to put God first in our lives, and He's number one in our lives and in our prayer, and we want to pray to Him. We want to have a relationship with Him. But don't mess with my back pocket. See? We get nervous about that. We need to put God first in everything we do. We noticed in the previous verses over in 1 Corinthians that Paul simply said to give as one has prospered. The question that comes up is, how much should I give? How much should I give? I've got a chart. No, I'm not going to do that. But that's what people think. Well, okay, let's get a chart and let's see. Okay, we've got this much money and we have this many bills. How much can we allot to God? That's not the way to do it, my friends. That's not the way to do it. Remember, Matthew 6:33, put the kingdom of God first. But again, the question comes out, well then how much could I give? Or how much should I give? I've heard people ask that question, and understandably, we want to make sure we're doing okay. We want to make sure we're doing right. We don't want to just give just this little bit if we should be giving more. And we certainly don't want to be giving more if we could have got away with just a little less. How much should we give? The only answer from these verses that we have here is that as you have prospered. If giving helps us to put God first, then we certainly shouldn't be stingy about it, should we? Let me give you a little illustration that I think will help us to understand this. A man says that he loves his wife and he puts her first in everything. Oh, honey, I love you and you're the most important thing to me and I just love you so much. I would do anything for you. You know that. You come first in all everything. And the man goes out and he buys himself a $240 suit, and a $70 pair of shoes, and a $45 shirt, and a $35 tie, of course, to complete the ensemble. And he's so proud of this nice suit. He's been wanting a nice suit like that. And he's so proud of it. And on his way back home, he can't wait to get home and put it on and try it and show his wife and everything. And on his way back, he stops at Walmart and he buys his wife a dress for $9.98. And he gets home and he shows his wife, oh, look at this suit I've got. Oh, look at the thread in it. Isn't it pretty? And that tie, and the coordination is so good. And here, honey, look, I got you this dress. Oh, honey, I love you. Excuse me, I love you so much. How much do you think he loved her? You say, "Well, that rascal. I mean, look at him. Look at the selfishness in that rascal." But don't we do the same thing to God? Don't we do the same thing to God? I mean, we buy houses and automobiles and big screen television sets and appliances and boats and clothing, and we go on vacation, and then we come into church and we maybe drop a percent or two, a couple of dollars, $5, something like that. And when we're putting it in, we say, "I love you so much, Lord." Let me ask you something. Do you think that he's being deceived by that? I mean, do you really think that he's deceived in thinking that you're putting him first? The Lord will not be deceived. So let's answer the question, how much should I give? How much do I give to show that I'm putting God first? You know, it's hard for us to put a money value on that. It's hard for us to translate that into dollars and cents. Let me help you with that a little bit. Let me give you something to think about this evening. God's people in the Old Testament, and I'm sure you're aware of this, God's people in the Old Testament gave a minimum of 10% under an inferior law. Why should we expect to give any less than that under a perfect law? A law that has better sacrifice, a better covenant, established on better promises. Why would we even think that we should give any less than that? Does that make sense? Now, the fact is that one of God's principles is that the more we are given, the more is expected of us. Luke 12 and verse 48, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required." This concept is found all throughout the Bible. And we've been given a perfect law, a perfect covenant, a perfect Savior, a free country to live in, good jobs, good homes. Do you think that 10% is too much to give to the Lord? Now, I have to say this. Please don't go out of here tonight saying, "That Brother Adams thinks that we're still under the old law and we need to be tithing. He said right there in the pulpit, we need to give 10% and that tithing is..." And if he believes that, then where's his animal sacrifices? Please don't think that I'm saying that. Because I'm not saying that we need to tithe. It's just something to think about. In fact, consider this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Something else to consider here while we're at it. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. "But I say this..." Excuse me, that's verse 6. I need to read verse 7. "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity..." Oh, do I have to give? "For God loves a cheerful giver." You see, to show our love for the Lord, we need to purpose in our heart first. First. But instead, we do it the other way around. We bring home our paychecks and we sit down and we write a budget out. Well, at least we should. Most of us don't have a budget, but that's beside the point. But we get our budget out, we write down, and we figure, okay, now here's what I can pay for the house and the car. I think that we can afford that second car, honey. I really want that other car, that little sport. I think we can afford... Yeah, we can do that. Okay, so we can pay that payment, and we can pay for the B-screen TV, and we can pay groceries and electric bill and all these things. And how much do we have left? We got... Yeah, there's... Okay, this... Yeah, that little bit we got left, we'll give that to God. Do you see how that concept doesn't work? We have to purpose in our hearts to give what we're going to give to the Lord first. And then let all those other things take care of themselves. That's exactly what he said in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 23. When he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you." You remember that was stated right after the comment about worrying about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and all these kind of things. And he says, "Well, don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then those other things will be taken care of." If you can't afford those other things, it may be that you want too much. No, that couldn't be it, could it? To show our love for the Lord, we need to purpose in our hearts what we're going to give to God first, and then take care of the daily needs as we can. After all, He is our God. He does deserve the best, does He not? I tell you, it's so good to give to the Lord. It shows, as we've said, it shows gratitude. It shows interest. It keeps us involved in the work of the church, and that's so important for us. And by giving, we're obedient to the Lord. It shows that we're putting God first. You know, the Macedonians that we read about a few moments ago, and David, the widow woman, they all got it. They all understood the concept. It's about sacrifice. They didn't just give just because they had to. They gave because they wanted to. They gave more than they could really afford to give. They didn't give just out of their abundance. David said, I will not give something that didn't cost me something. That's what sacrifice is. They understood that their sacrifice, now get this, because this is a key thing. They understood that their sacrifice strengthened their relationship with God. Isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to strengthen our relationship with God with everything that we do. Or at least we should be. You know, Jesus was right, of course, when He said it's more blessed to give than receive. Jesus understood. Jesus demonstrated the fact that it was more blessed to give than receive. Forgive, because He gave His life for us. He sacrificed everything for us. Paul demonstrated this concept by giving his life to the service of the Lord. My question I would ask for you tonight, how have you demonstrated this principle? That it is more blessed to give than receive. Because we live in a generation today that it's all about what can I do for me. You've heard the me generation and all this kind of stuff, but that's pretty much true, and I guess it's always really been that way. We blame this generation, it's always been that way. But it's more blessed to give than to receive. Christianity is truly about giving, giving, giving. How have you demonstrated that principle in your life? Maybe you could begin tonight by giving your life to the Lord. I appreciate so much being here tonight. I appreciate the invitation to be here and to speak with you. And I don't know, Brother Wallace and I talked a little bit about the subject that he wanted me to present, and it may not have had quite the flavor that he wanted, I don't know, but the fact is that when we give, it needs to be something that we do in the heart. It's all about our relationship with God. It's not a mechanical thing. It's a thing of love. It's a thing of sacrifice. It's something about the heart. It's so more important than the mechanics of it. Because if we have our heart right, the rest will take care of itself. I appreciate your attention. There may be someone here tonight that's not a Christian. You know, I was thinking this morning at the congregation where I preach at McKay Avenue in Aniano. There's some young people there that I know they really need to become Christians and hadn't done it yet, and I think that they may soon. But every time we give the invitation, I look out and I see them, and it's almost like the Lord is offering something to them that is just absolutely. He's offering life. And I really can't imagine for the life of me, God, the Lord, offering life to someone. Here, I have eternal life. Here, it's yours for the taking. And someone says, I don't want that. But you know, whenever, every time you hear the invitation of the Lord, and you sit in that seat, you're saying, I don't want that. Could you imagine if someone came along and offered them the same person? I've got this beautiful new car I'd like to offer you. It's shiny new. No, it's only got a few miles on it. I'd like to offer you that. No, I don't want that. Can you imagine that?
You say, "Boy, that's crazy to give up a car." Well, what about giving up eternal life? Jesus gave his life for you and for me. And if you don't obey the gospel, it is for nothing. It lives in your case. Don't wait until it's too late. Your life is not something to be played with. Make it right with God tonight. If you believe that Jesus is Christ, that he is the Son of God, and are willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus, you can be baptized tonight. And the greatest thing about that is every sin you've ever committed in your life can be gone, just like that. And there's nothing magical about the water. It's the obedience to the laws of Christ. You can do that tonight. There may be someone who's become a Christian and has fallen away. We'll give you the opportunity to come to the Lord tonight. Make it right. Don't leave this place with your soul in question. Nothing to be played with. It's serious business, and we can help you with it. Probably stand and sing the song.